The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So it's telly time. Louise Duffy, presenter of Lost to Music here on Today FM, joins us, and also today by Esther O'Moore Donoghue, who you hear on the Friday panel every now and again, host of the 80% podcast. Now, a programme I haven't seen, which both of you have seen, which has become a massive hit immediately on its release on Netflix, is a reboot, Queer Eye.
Oh, it's so good.
Why? Explain it.
It's just, okay, so I snowed in last week and I watched 8 episodes of it, 5 back to back one evening. It is just so heartwarming. It's so charming. 5 gay guys overhaul somebody's life who's really in need of it. So they've dropped, it's the reboot of Queer Eye for the straight guy. They've dropped the straight guy. It doesn't matter, you know, what your lifestyle is like, you just need help. So there's one guy
help
who,
with what?
So everything. So the first series, or the first episode, and Esther, you saw this one,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, the first episode, yeah.
It kind of focuses, it looks after this guy who's a self-confessed redneck. Everything has gone wrong. He's living in a basement. He lost the love of his life and he just needs help, you know, his skin is bad, his beard is too long, all of this kind of thing. So they come in, there's a guy who looks after lifestyle, so helping him with confidence and, you know, giving him confidence to go back after the person he loves, and he ends up with her at the end, spoiler, sorry. Food, interiors, there's one guy who completely overhauls his entire basement and just makes it magnificent. Clothing, everything. So it's just, it's really heartwarming to watch. You know, I thought that they would go down the route of like the stereotypical gay man and it could be a little bit dodgy on that front, but it isn't. It's just 5 really wonderful people helping somebody.
Yeah, well, I can only go in one episode. I did watch the original series that was out in 2003, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
And where was what was that about? Was that the same thing?
It was the same thing. Yeah. There was like, you know, the Power Ranger that kind of looked after cooking, your lifestyle, mm-hmm. as Louis said, and whatever. And they kind of just reinvigorated people, and maybe there was always a kind of a big dramatic climax, like someone had to propose to their girlfriend by putting the ring in a chocolate box and all this kind of, or they, you know, parachuted out of the sky or whatever. And this is the same thing, but the emphasis this time is not meant to be on the little helpers as being kind of gay caricatures or kind of, you know, straight friendly ideas or interpretations of what a gay man is. But basically they're just kind of taking the rough edges off people and making them feel better.
Did you find the first episode entertaining?
It was nice. I thought it was interesting that this man, who was, like, as we said, from the deep south, 57, on the surface, he might have looked at him and gone, oh, he's going to interpret life a certain way. But he was very at ease with these guys. He was laughing and joking and he enjoyed it and got into it and was very comfortable with
it. Well, let's hear a little bit of it.
The original show was fighting for tolerance. Our fight is for acceptance.
Let's do this.
I'm excited, like I don't know what to expect.
I'd like the Fab Five to help me get out of my comfort zone.
I think my dad is lonely.
I want her to be excited about the new me.
Really is surviving, and I need him to start thriving.
How long does it take for this to accumulate?
Like 2.5 minutes.
Whoa, there's a lot going on in here.
There's no way that that's acceptable anywhere other than, God, I don't even know where you'd wear that.
I want him to look at his diet and see the possibility of a different kind of life. I want to give him space that he could entertain a potential lady friend. It's okay to have confidence with yourself.
Ooh, yes, balance, yes, symmetry.
You got this. It's cool, it's young. You actually look 33.
I see the man that he is and the man that he's going to be.
You guys married?
I'm married for 5.
Are you the husband or the wife?
Let's break that down. That is a misconception.
Yeah, let's unpack that.
We all got to come together in a way where we can understand each other.
You guys show me how good my life can be if I just cared.
All of this only works because you were ready for it.
Gay, straight, a common thread that holds every human together is that we just want to be loved.
Okay, Mike in CIT says that Queer Eye is a great show. The 5 lads are fab.
They're so fab. And I know you look a little bit sceptical as you listen to that there.
Don't think I'll be watching that.
My brother was the same. He was with me when we were snowed in watching it. And he was like, oh, for God's sake, reality TV. And I'm not watching this. And he was hooked. Give it a go. Give it one episode.
Netflix. House of Cards is coming back. I think everyone thought it was going to be scrapped because of Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
It's coming back without him. Can House of Cards come back without Frank Underwood?
Well, I think so. Well, it's coming back. They're going to have to figure it out and see if it works or not. But I mean, Claire Underwood, that's what we said earlier on. Carrie Underwood, she's a country western singer.
Claire Underwood. Played by Robin Wright.
She's a strong enough character. She's, you know, I mean, Frank was certainly had menace and was evil and he was very strategic and he was a very interesting character. But Claire has a dynamic within her that she has this kind of thirst for power, and she was in this partnership with Frank, but she's also there's a softer side to her. There's an artist within her or something, because she had that affair with
the photographer guy.
There's something else. So she is, she keeps that kind of very well in check and she's very focused on what she needs to do. But I mean, there's a lot of within herself that she can play
against. Yeah, but it's the dynamic between the two of them. And the reason I say this, now, I don't know if you're supposed to actually watch Old House of Cards now with Kevin Spacey in them, but I've actually been doing it for the last week or two. I have. I'm going back watching season one. And leaving aside whatever you might think about Kevin Spacey and his personal behaviour, Frank Underwood is a compelling character.
Absolutely.
Let's just actually hear a little bit of the interaction between him and Robin Wright as Claire.
Let's run together again. Not just as husband and wife.
You don't mean...
Yes.
I'm worried about you, Claire. You're not making any sense. You've let your ego get in the way.
I've always been your running mate. You just didn't want to see it.
As my vice president, Jesus.
I've
you have
put
any
a lot
idea?
Of thought into this.
You can't have thought it through. Because
she
if you did,
no
you would have come up
She's
with a
never
million
run
reasons.
For anything. No children, nepotism, arrogance. I've run through them all. You can't win without me.
I would rather have a spineless Donald Blythe as my vice president than a woman who's never held elected office.
You're losing to a woman who's never held elected office.
You don't deserve it. You have no idea what it means to have nothing. You don't value what we have achieved. I have had to fight for everything my entire life.
And it was a happy marriage throughout the series, it has to be said, as well
were,
as that. They had their moments, but it was a happy marriage.
You know, I always thought the dynamic between them was like the real heart of it.
Yeah.
Frank Underwood and then the relationship. And she was kind of secondary to that. But like, as Esther said, there was something in her. We didn't see enough of it. If that can come out, well, then maybe it can survive and there could be another series after this.
There's the battle within her. Those two sides were presented. She has it very well hidden and she has it kind of suppressed.
Okay, spoiler alert for those who haven't been following House of Cards, who didn't watch the last season. She is actually now the president.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah. And maybe that is the spot, but they would have.
She's what?
Yeah, and of course he had to resign and the rest of it. Now, I don't know how they're going to kill him off screen or whatever, but I don't know. I just don't know.
Last series kind of lost me halfway through. I kind of gave up on it and I had been absolutely enthralled by it up to that. But the last series got a little bit more watery for me. The trailer is just as generic as can be. It just basically shows a busy office around the White House and she turns around and she's in the chair, but we knew that already. So there's nothing
Esther
to go on.
That was good.
You
saw me. I needed that reminder. Oh, well, there we go. Yeah.
Louise, you a few weeks ago spoke about Derren Brown's The Push.
Yes.
The preview. You have now seen it and I believe many people are appalled by it.
And I am too. I thought it was quite deplorable, actually. So
Do you know what? We have the trailer that explains the premise.
Yeah.
Okay.
My name is Derren Brown and the question we're considering is simple. Can we be manipulated through social pressure to commit murder?
70 people coming in here. They can't see this. Take them by the knees.
70 actors will be playing out a meticulously planned and rehearsed scenario to manipulate this man who has no idea he's being filmed.
Come on, guys, what are we gonna do?
He's a millionaire. He's gonna make sure you go to jail.
This show is about how readily we hand over authorship of our lives every day.
Just give him one big push.
Can social compliance be used to make someone push a living, breathing human being to their death? Welcome to The Push.
Oh, a jolly little josh by Derren Brown to see if someone will commit murder. That's it.
You've watched it.
I've watched it.
And how did you find it? Because there's been lots of complaints about it. Some people are suggesting the contestants should be arrested.
Yeah, so, and now there's spoilers because it's hard to talk about it without saying what happens. So if you're looking forward to it, maybe put your fingers in the ears. But so he He picks a number of individuals who months previous to that had signed up to be in the next Derren Brown TV show, so they've forgotten about it. And so they find themselves in a situation whereby they're in a room full of people ready for this big event to make a load of money for poor children, and a man falls dead and they have to hide the body. Now, at that point, I was watching it thinking, but you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that. Like, why would you do that? But he has picked, I suppose, the weakest individuals.
You'd ring the ambulance. You'd ring the police.
Yeah.
But these people are all conditioned to go and hide the body.
Yeah, and there's loads of subliminal messages, like videos from celebrities saying, just do whatever you have to do to make the money, and all this kind of thing. Anyway, the heel of the hunt, the guy that we're watching throughout the day has a decision to make whether or not, because the guy isn't dead in the end, will he push him off a roof because they've treated him so badly? And he walks away and you think, oh, thank God, because his life would be ruined if he committed murder on TV or attempted to commit murder. So anyway, that's fine. But then Derren Brown goes, so you didn't do it, but these three people did. And he shows three other contestants who all willingly push somebody off a building. And you have to wonder about, A, the psychological toll on these people, but the social standing that they now have when on TV they have attempted murder.
Esther looks engrossed as if this is the first thing she's going to watch when she goes home.
I'm just like, no, because I saw this on pop up on Netflix and I was like, no, I'm not interested in Derren Brown, Hocus Pocus, what did I have for dinner?
Yeah.
But then I was, prior to the show, I read up on the show, The Push, and it sounds horrific. And I suppose, I mean, when we saw last week in the snow, we sit at home with our hummus chips, eating our, you know, watching this program, we go, I would never do that, that's awful. But look, last week in the snow, people went nuts. If you're in, we, you know, we're all very civilised and we're all very together, but when it comes to it, like, Louise, I'd take you down to Chinatown.
She would push me right off that building.
I'd take you out as well, Matt. I'd take us all out. Yeah. You know, but so it just shows when you're in that group setting and you feel like your life is on the line. I mean, and it was obviously a contrived situation and he had all these triggers and all these things arranged to try and push this person to the psychological edge.
Well, they're completely conditioned, but I just think it's nice really a grim way to set somebody up.
Esther, Coronation Street has put in a male rape storyline, which it says is to highlight the culture of silence. But are family soaps the places to do things like this?
Well, I remember when I was young, I desperately wanted to watch EastEnders all the time. I have diary entries saying, I hate my mum. Why won't you let me watch EastEnders? I was like, what? You know, my mum was like, and I now as growing up, I go, oh, because it was so bleak and it was awful. And my grandmother used to love watching the soaps, and when we'd get into her house, we'd watch them every day. And they're sort of humdrum, and Audrey's Knicker Factory's exploded and all these kind of very basic storylines. And then I think when they have a really hard-hitting issue like this and they kind of put it into the humdrum storylines, it does have an impact and it gets people's attention and it captures maybe an audience that wouldn't, I mean, I wouldn't imagine most families discuss this around the kitchen table. So it kind of puts a spotlight on it. And people watching that, they always put the helpline numbers at the end. It might reach, you know, somebody who's had this experience. And we're not an ideal subject to discuss at maybe 7 o'clock in the evening, but it has a place and people are really suffering. So,
and it depends on how they handle it as well. And soaps, like, historically have that role of tackling taboos and those difficult subjects. Like, the Platt family have done it all, actually. In Coronation Street, they've had teen pregnancy. They've had a grooming storyline recently. And so David Platt is going to be the centre of a story around male rape. And it's about, you know, this, they're trying to tackle the culture of silence. And I think if it's done right, there's a place for it. In Emmerdale at the moment, there's a story about an acid attack. And that leaves me very unnerved, because I think whatever about handling taboos and real serious issues, I think there's something dangerous about taking a storyline like that and demonstrating how easy it is to
do. Okay, we've only got a minute or so left because we have to move to the rugby picks of the week. Your suggestion is from Netflix, Esther.
Yeah, I watched this during the snow. It's a series on Netflix called Flint Town. It's set in Flint, Michigan, a former thriving motor city that's now one of the most dangerous places in America. And on top of that, their water's been poisoned and they can't drink the tap. And it just shows how a society has just fallen apart. And it looks at how the police department is trying to tackle getting on top of this and all the obstacles that are on the way. It's interesting. It's
On Netflix. That's called Flint Town. What's your pick, Louise? The Looming Tower.
So The Looming Tower is it's based on the book of the same name by Lawrence Wright, and it analyses, you know, the path leading to the tragedy of the 9/11 attacks, and it's the kind of the issues between the FBI and the CIA, and it's based on fact.
But it's based on fact. I mean, do people regard this as appropriate for what was a major tragedy to sort of dramatize is it in fiction?
Well, there's a question about that. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Jeff Daniels is the lead, and you know, there's a lot of questions about that. You know, if they stick to it seriously and accurately, I think that's fine. But if they kind of dramatize something so serious for the purpose of entertainment, then you know, you're getting into murky waters. But it's been very well received.
That's on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to get Amazon Prime as well?
Is
this becoming essential to have as well as Netflix?
You need all the streaming things. You need you need all of it, and just watch all of it. Yeah.
Great. Esther O'Donoghue, Louise Duffy will be with us, of course, after 7 o'clock tonight as well for Lost in Music. Look forward to hearing that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.